Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 11th of April, 2016, the podcast that hides from the ice cream man. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Charles Thomas. Charlie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. Welcome, everyone who love my beautiful voice.
With that beautiful new microphone you have.
It's recent. It's not new. It's just recent.
But we can hear those dulcet tones of yours so much better.
Yeah.
First, a quick announcement. You can now support this podcast and get a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial from Audible. You can choose from over 180,000 titles, including books we've talked about like Catch-22, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, or The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or even nonfiction like Economics in One Lesson, The Permanent Portfolio, Harry Brown's Long-Term Investment Strategy, or many of Murray Rothbard's books. So get your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/bogosity. Again, that's audibletrial.com/bogosity for your free audiobook. Okay, let's contrafibulate the news of the bogus. And in what is almost certainly a middle finger to the FBI, Brazil, and other governments that want to spy on people, WhatsApp has turned on strong end-to-end encryption for the messaging and voice calls of its 1 billion users around the world.
Wow, that is amazing. But you know what they're going to do. They're going to go and cry and moan to what their respective governments are, and we're going to be right back here 2 months later saying how WhatsApp's been,
They already are, but according to WhatsApp, according to WhatsApp co-founder Jan Koum, quote, "We live in a world where more of our data is digitized than ever before. Every day we see stories about sensitive records being improperly accessed or stolen, and if nothing is done, more of people's digital information and communication will be vulnerable to attack in the years to come. Fortunately, end-to-end encryption protects us from these vulnerabilities."
Yeah. I wonder what all the big news about the whole, we had to hack the terrorist cell phone. What, did they find anything in that, by the way?
They haven't said. I think if they had found anything, they would have paraded it in front of everyone. But they're already saying, okay, now let's do it with all these dozens of other iPhones as well. And they won't tell Apple how they did it, which means there are all these vulnerable phones out there. So
yep,
there's at least a rumor or maybe speculation or something that Apple's just going to buy that Israeli company that's unlocking it for them and and get it that way.
Oh, well.
So WhatsApp is using the same encryption protocol that Moxie Marlin Spy created for Signal. That's the app from Open Whisper Systems. That's the one I use and recommend, and it's a good replacement for your default SMS app. And the way it works is, you can still text people normally, but if the other person has Signal, it goes over your data, not your normal SMS, so it doesn't become a part of the normal metadata that they like collecting. But it's also end-to-end encrypted, and you can also make encrypted calls over data that way. So WhatsApp is going to use that same protocol. It's not quite as versatile as Signal is, but it is a very popular app used by, like I said, a billion people around the world. And what's interesting is that the American government is largely to thank for this, because since 2013, Open Whisper Systems has gotten over $2 million from the Open Technology Fund, which is an umbrella group that is primarily made up of the United States government and other organizations as well.
Yeah, because it is a digital world now, right? We have to keep their own stuff private. But next thing you know, oops! All of our data is gone.
Well, I think it just goes back to what Milton Friedman said in Free to Choose about how one part of the government does things one way, and then the other part of the government does something that completely cancels it out. Like you have one part of the government trying to make oil more expensive so that you can have better development of renewables. Then you have another part of the government subsidizing oil. They cancel each other out, but the costs don't. So here you have some parts of the government, like the Open Technology Fund and like a good part of the NSA and the NIST, saying, hey, here's how we do strong encryption. Let's get things encrypted. And then you have the FBI and the State Department, things like that, saying, no, we need to have back doors and we need to stop this encryption so we can spy on everyone. So again, they're working at complete odds with each other.
No one's on the same page. It's just this I mean, you can't protect your stuff. What is the guarantee that you're going to protect my security, or that, you know, I don't want to have my social security number or credit card information or things like that happen? Because that stuff has happened to most people in my family.
Well, like we've pointed out before, you have a lot more to fear from identity thieves than from terrorists.
Yeah, but then again, terrorists always bring up the votes. Just put the terrorist thing out there and just say 9/11 about 10,000 times, and then you get elected.
So you have Christopher Segoyan, who is a privacy researcher, activist, and principal technologist with the ACLU. He tweeted, quote, "Our elected officials in Congress who authorized the millions in funding that paid for WhatsApp's crypto did us all a favor. Thank you." And a couple more notes about this. We've talked before about perfect forward secrecy. WhatsApp, like Signal, does have perfect forward secrecy. And what that means is that even if they record the encrypted conversation, they can't, like, then grab your phone or get into your WhatsApp account or whatever and pull off the keys that can do it. Even if they got your keys, the transmission is actually done using ephemeral keys, which are deleted right after it happens. So the information to decrypt it is gone at that point. And also it uses, I don't remember if we've talked about this one, curve 255.19, that's Dan Bernstein's elliptic curve, which is just really making sensations in the cryptography community. And it was developed completely outside of the government, so there's no back doors in it or anything. And like Signal and like Threema and others that people like, you can actually verify fingerprints. You can actually show someone your fingerprint, which is this little hexadecimal code, or you can show it as a QR code for them to scan in, and you can verify that the key you got is actually the key of the person you want to talk to, and there hasn't been a man in the middle that's interfered with that. So you can be sure that you're talking to the actual person, and there's no one in the middle who can decrypt it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So you have another WhatsApp co-founder, Brian Acton, who said, quote, "Building secure products actually makes for a safer world, though many people in law enforcement may not agree with that. Anyone can conduct business or talk to a doctor without worrying about eavesdroppers. With encryption, you can even be a whistleblower and not worry."
Yeah, even though there's some whistleblowers who had to leave.
Yeah. Well, you see, whistleblowers in countries we don't like are good. Whistleblowers in countries we do like, or in our country, are bad. So.
Yeah.
But that's what people have to remember. We're not just talking about America here. We're talking about, you know, Venezuela. We're talking about Egypt. We're talking about these Middle Eastern countries and sub-Saharan African countries and all these people who are really having their government put the screws on them. And, I mean, this could be a big help to them. And as Coom pointed out, quote, "The argument can be made, maybe you want to trust the government, but you shouldn't because you don't know where things are going to go in the future. So even if you trust the current incarnation of government, what if some crazy guy gets elected and everything turns around? You know, how many Germans saw Hitler coming?" But you have the apologists, like former federal prosecutor Joseph DeMarco, quote, "The government doesn't want to stop encryption, but the question is, what do you do when a company creates an encryption system that makes it impossible for court-authorized search warrants to be executed? What is the reasonable level of assistance you should ask from that company?" Well, none, because there's nothing they can do. Unless you want to force them to have a back door. I mean, they're acting like they can make 2 plus 2 equal 5 whenever they want to.
Well, I mean, that's what government does. 2 plus 2 equals 10, and everyone has to agree, even though, you know, it's not the case.
And, I mean, even if you do mandate backdoors, like there's a bill in California where they're trying to make it so that every phone sold in California has to have a cryptographic backdoor that law enforcement can get into, aside from the fact that people just go outside California to buy their phones, even if they manage to get it into phones, there are apps like WhatsApp. And then you force WhatsApp to have a backdoor, but then they just go and use something else. And as Coom says, quote, "The encryption genie is out of the bottle."
Yeah.
So the only question is, are you going to have it by default so that everyone is protected? Or are you going to have it where there are all these backdoors in by default, where the criminals and the terrorists and the nerds like me who know how to do it are going to encrypt our cell phone transmissions, and everyone else is just going to be vulnerable, the people you aren't worried about?
Yeah.
But DeMarco is saying, you know, just what a lot of the other people in law enforcement are saying, like, this is something brand new that's going to change everything. They used to be able to do all this. Now, all of a sudden, everything's going dark. Well, Marlon Spike said, quote, in some ways, you can think of end-to-end encryption as honoring what the past looked like. Now, more and more of our communication is done over communication networks rather than face-to-face or other traditionally private means of communicating. Even written correspondence wasn't subject to mass surveillance the way that electronic communication is today. And Acton agreed, said, quote, the phone is 100, 110 years old. There was a middle period where the government had a broad ability to surveil. But if you look at human history in total, people evolved and civilizations evolved with private conversations and private speech. If anything, we're bringing that back to individuals.
Exactly. They don't like losing power in any type of situation. The more freedom we have, the more chances they say, well, let's try to legislate it.
Now, there are a couple of things I feel I should say about this. WhatsApp isn't open source, unlike Signal. Signal is open source. You can examine the source code. You can make sure it builds properly. And you can make sure there isn't an FBI backdoor in there. You can't do that with WhatsApp. And even if someone did do a security audit and said, okay, it's fine, there are no backdoors, there's no guarantee that won't be the case a year from now. And another thing to remember, and this is really the case with all the messaging apps so far, there's really nothing they can do to stop governments from getting the metadata. You know, if it's going over the phone system, you can see this phone number talking to this phone number. If it's going over data, you see, okay, this IP address is talking to this IP address. And we've talked before how they can get a lot from that metadata, and no one's really come up with a good solution for that yet.
Give it time.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
So, we've talked about Warren Canaries before. This is where a website will put up a little disclaimer saying that we've never received a national security letter or a warrant asking for information about our users. And the idea is that if that ever happens, then they just remove that notice. And then it's sort of like putting up a piece of text saying we just got this warrant, except the opposite. You know from the absence of the Warren Canary that that's happened. Well, early in 2015, Reddit had a Warren Canary in its 2014 transparency support, which read, quote, Reddit has never received a national security letter, an order under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or any other classified request for user information. But they recently published their 2015 report, and that part isn't in there anymore. Which means they very likely did receive a court order or national security letter of some kind. So this is kind of proof of the concept. It's gone, so now we know what's happened, but it's left everyone asking one question. Now what? Well, as Christopher Segoyan, again of the ACLU, we talked about him last story, he pointed out on Twitter, quote, Reddit admin says he has been told not to comment on the dead canary. And that's something that kind of gets people thinking like, yeah, it actually happened, as opposed to, like, if their lawyers told them, hey, this wasn't a good idea, they would say, you know, our lawyers told us this wasn't a good idea, so we took it down. It's the fact that they can't comment on it that's really gotten everyone paying attention. So, since Reddit can't talk about it, ACLU lawyers Brett Kaufman, Alex Abdo, Nima Singh Giuliani, and Patrick Tooley joined with Nick Merrill of the Calix Institute to do a Reddit AMA on the subject. And it's long, as these things tend to be, but I did want to hit a couple of highlights. So we have from Brett, quote, A company publishes a canary for a particular type of surveillance request. The government serves that type of surveillance request on the company. The government seeks to prohibit the removal of the canary from the company's site. The company sues on First Amendment grounds, arguing that the government cannot compel it to lie to the public. So that's what's so important about these. If the government says you have to keep this Warren Canary in there, not only is that compelled speech, which the courts have allowed only very rarely, it's compelled false speech, which is a different animal entirely, and extremely rarely, if ever, have the courts upheld someone where the government says, oh, you have to actively tell this lie, as opposed to just, you know, say we cannot confirm or deny or whatever.
I admit I'm ignorant to this type of stuff, so if I get something wrong, I apologize. But I hope it is just used to get for criminals, and please, someone in the comments, tell me, or Shane, you can tell me as well, what type of horrible abuses could happen.
Well, there's a lot of discussion on this in the AMA, so like I say, it's kind of a long read, but I did want to point out a couple of things to the post of Brett's that I just read out. A user called Detainee had a very good question, quote, so if Reddit made a fat canary that listed every user for which no subpoenas have been received, a judge can make them lie about that? So they would have one line saying, we have never received any requests to turn over information about Shane Killian, we've never received any requests to turn over information about Charles Thomas or whatever, and then they just remove it for that particular user. And what Brett points out is, quote, it's not that a judge could for sure force a company to lie about an individualized canary, but that the government's arguments about why the First Amendment wouldn't prohibit that kind of forced lie, that removing a canary would jeopardize an investigation and harm national security, start to look a little more plausible when a canary speaks to an individual very close in time to when legal process was issued. So like for a lot of these things, they don't even want the individual to know that this has happened. But by removing that warrant canary, it's effectively the same as communicating that information to people, which they don't want them to do. And so the court in that situation might say, okay, well, then you are communicating information to that. You can't do that. Now, whether they would say you have to actively lie and leave it up, or you have to take down all your canaries or whatever, that's an open question. But the bottom line, anything they could do to communicate any useful information to their users would be legally risky for the company for exactly that same reason.
When you look at that, it is something really worrying, and hopefully they can get another canary. Or
I think this is one of the issues that now that it's happened, I don't think you can have any more canaries from this point on. Yeah, I think it's really the case where you can either say, this has not happened, or you can't say anything at all. And if you get any more detail than that, then you end up in a greater risk of legal action.
So, yeah, this is just like, it could be this or not this.
Well, and that's kind of the thing about this that people are saying is, okay, yeah, we have more information that we didn't have before. We know that this has happened, but what can we really do about it? But it is a problem, as Nick Merrill points out, quote, the DOJ's Inspector General released a report detailing FBI's use of NSLs, the National Security Letters. In that report, they looked at the years 2003 to 2006, if I recall correctly, and in that time period, the FBI had issued something like 192,000 NSLs. If you do some quick math, that's getting close to one NSL per 1,000 Americans. It's hard to know the full extent due to the overbearing use of secrecy and gag orders.
Hopefully everything will hopefully work out in a more of a positive way, because right now I'm very, I will admit, ignorant to this situation, and hopefully the responsible people will actually fix this problem, because if not, well, yeah.
Yeah, and down lower, Brett Kaufman again reiterates, quote, the more practically useful and informative they are, the more legally risky they are too. To think about why, consider a warrant canary that was pegged to each individual user on a site, just like we said, and updated daily. Effectively, this flavor of canary would almost instantaneously inform a user that the government had presented the provider with a request for a specific user's information. Of course, this will be very useful news for the individual. Now he knows the government is interested in him, whether or not he knows why. But for that same reason, the government would have a pretty strong argument in that case that the removal of the individual's canary was simply an end run around the gag order, and that it would jeopardize the government interests in completing its investigation without interference. Remember, the gag order tells the company it cannot reveal the existence of the request to the target. But with an individual canary, that's almost exactly what the company would be revealing.
So, catch 22, right? They can't say anything. If they do say something, it would basically ruin their chances. They can't win, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they tried to do something like that, they would end up finding themselves in a situation where they can't turn right and they can't turn left, without violating some sort of law. And I think in that situation, their only course of action would be to take down all of the Warren Canaries, which means there's no point in having them individualized to begin with.
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, if there's a warrant or something like that, getting criminals and such, fine. But I really, you know, hope it's not abused.
Well, and it's also a new thing, so maybe over the years to come, it'll start evolving to where they will have a better idea of what they can say and what they can't. You know, not so much saying, oh, there's been a warrant against Charles Thomas, but saying something like with the disclaimer, we're not saying anything about individuals, but we are asserting that we haven't had a request for surveillance of widespread users on our website or something like that. So they know that they're not being, you know, monitored as a whole. Anything that might be happening would be on an individual basis based on a warrant for that individual. So who knows? If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. And now another unbelievable story of injustice from our court system. A Fifth Circuit appellate court has vacated a man's fine because of blatant prosecutorial misconduct that rose to the level of perjury but wouldn't vacate his jail sentence.
Wow, I'm not surprised by that.
Actually, I'm a little surprised that it wasn't the other way around, because usually they just want the money.
Yeah, they will take the money, but no, they don't want a person. I mean, let's get into the story before I get into this.
So Jason Dorvin was convicted in 2012 for bank fraud, and he was mostly convicted by the testimony of his co-conspirator, Chris Darrington. Dorvin was sentenced to 2 years in prison and ordered to pay $100,000 in restitution. However, he appealed this conviction, and that's when the prosecutorial misconduct came out. And according to Open File, quote, Prosecutor Mindy Sauter had failed to disclose a sealed supplement to the plea agreement with Chris Darrington, promising Darrington assistance in obtaining leniency at his own sentencing. So this is one of those things where, hey, if you testify and say what we want to on the stand, then we'll get you a lighter sentence. And how that's not witness tampering, I still haven't figured out.
Because of the reasons, Jane. They have no reason at all. They're trying to get the bad guy. That's what they're saying. Just trying to get the bad guy. That's it.
But here's the thing. They have to turn over all exculpatory evidence to the defense, including things like this. They didn't do that. They did not disclose this working agreement they had with him. And even more than that, a lawyer, a prosecutor, or a defense attorney, or whoever, cannot ask a witness a question if they know that the answer he gives is going to be a lie. But that's exactly what happened here. They put him up there knowing that he would affirm under oath that there was no such agreement when there was. So Open File said, quote, The district court issued a show cause order in which it requested that the government's counsel to file a pleading addressing why sanctions should not be imposed for Sauter's failure, Sauter is the prosecutor, to disclose Darrington's plea agreement supplement and Sauter's permitting Darrington to falsely testify that the government had not made him any promises. But they decided that, undisclosed, and this was bad, and this was the main witness against him, and this was basically all the evidence they had. But, quote, despite finding that Sauter had exhibited a reckless disregard for her duties and conducted the proceedings in an irresponsible manner, the lower court did not find Sauter had acted in bad faith and chose to impose no sanctions.
Wow. So even when they are caught doing wrong, and yet they're like, nope, she still had a good case, so let's lock this person up.
Yep, and so there was a retrial. DeVorin was convicted and sentenced a second time, and at this point, to add insult to injury, the government also tacked on a $91,000 asset seizure.
Wow. It is, again, why people have little faith in the government right now. There's no faith in them to do the right thing when they have these in the courts. When you see this, it's criminal. And when you have a person who this is a prosecutor who is, this is someone who is like, okay, let me try a case against these people. Let me try against these, like, do it with honor and integrity. And instead they're like, well, let's just get another victory, another W.
Yeah, and even though the appellate court did toss out the forfeiture, and I believe they tossed out the restitution as well, they said that the injury to DeVorin was so minimal that Sauter shouldn't have any sanctions against her. Quote, and this is directly from the opinion, quote, the individual who was responsible for the discovery violation, Sauter, was no longer involved in the case at the time the district court was considering the propriety of awarding sanctions. Thus, the concern of deterring future misconduct was less significant than it might have been otherwise. So you can get away with it if you just keep working on your caseload.
Yep. So the prosecutor should be disbarred. In fact, the judge need to be looked at as well. And the person who was sentenced should be released. They should really face some consequences. If you don't face any consequences, you know, this stuff is going to continue to happen.
Yep. They're not only free to continue their abuse, they're also emboldened a little because, hey, we got away with that. Let's see what else we can get away with.
Yeah.
An open file said, quote, in sum, then, we have a court choosing, in Sauter's case, to impute no ill motive to her suppression of material evidence, while at the same time imputing a vengeful motive to her successors. And that's a complete contradiction.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything else. I'm not as intelligent and such, but even I can see this. When you have prosecutorial misconduct continuously happening, that is not even going to be addressed at this point. And, you know, how many people have gone to jail with these type of misconducts, right?
There should have been sanctions against the prosecution. They should have had the case tried with new prosecution and vacated that plea agreement with Darrington and then see what he says when he doesn't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
I'd even go so far as to give him immunity for everything he said in the previous trial. It's like, okay, you've got no reason to lie now. Tell us what really happened.
That is the definition of a Pyrrhic victory. Did I say that right?
Pyrrhic.
Yeah, Pyrrhic
victory. Or Pyrrhic, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, a Pyrrhic victory. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the definition of this is. Or dark victory.
Wikipedia does not have a pronunciation for it.
But the term does completely fit here, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he won, and that and $5 will get him a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Oh, yes. Huzzah! Justice has won today.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse. Or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to trace route this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to the FBI, who apparently is the only entity in the world allowed to run a child porn site, which it did on the Tor network as a method of entrapment. It then used some exploit in either Tor or the Gecko web browser it's based on, which would mean that vulnerability is also in Firefox and many other browsers, to find out who it was that visited the site and go after them. And the problem is, this does mean that there's a security vulnerability and the FBI is not willing to tell anyone what it is.
Oh, joy. It's the same thing we talked about earlier. The FBI is trying to have their cake and eat it too, but it doesn't work that way here.
Well, and there's kind of been this conspiracy theory that the NSA or whoever is hoarding all of these 0 days that they can use whatever they work. Well, now apparently the FBI is doing it.
Oh, joy.
And oddly enough, this is the third story we've covered this podcast that mentions the ACLU's Chris Segoyan. And I promise you this is not the Chris Segoyan show. It's just a coincidence, but...
Or is it? Da-da-da!
But you have Special Agent Daniel Elfin just really talking his way around the defense in this case, saying, quote, "The NIT, that's the network investigative technique, in other words, the hacking tool, consists of a single component, that is the computer instructions delivered to the defendant's computer after he logged into Playpen that sent specific information obtained from his computer back into the FBI. Discovery of the exploit would do nothing to help him determine if the government exceeded the scope of the warrant, because it would explain how the NIT was deployed to his computer, not what it did once deployed. But they need to know both." That's, you know. And they're claiming that the delivery of the payload was the only exploit, not the payload itself, when, I mean, come on.
Okay, you wanted a fake child porn website. Okay, you want to trap these horrible people, these child molesters. Fine. Just tell us the information.
But it's scary when you look at what's been happening with the crypto ransomware. Because, I mean, it used to be you had to do something stupid, like click an attachment in an email and then turn on macros. But now they're loading this stuff into websites, things like WordPress apps that have vulnerabilities in them, to exploit a browser vulnerability, to put this on the computer, and then it runs the crypto ransomware, and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
It encrypts all the files on your computer and then pops up a screen that says, "If you want your files back, we'll give you the encryption key. Just send however many Bitcoin to this address."
Yeah.
And they'll do it. You'll get your encryption key. And I mean, there are hackers organizations making tens of millions of dollars doing this stuff.
And the FBI is helping them.
Yeah. And so that's why whoever finds that vulnerability first needs to disclose it at least to the company so they can fix it.
Yeah.
But it's even worse than that. They're not even letting the defense know it, because they can do that by having an in-camera session where it doesn't get disclosed to the public, but it's at least told to the defense. They're not even willing to do that. And what the defense wants to know is the information that they've turned over to the court exactly what was sent by the defendant's computer? And then Alfin says, quote, "I have reviewed that data stream and confirmed that the information sent by his computer as a result of the NIT matches the information that is stored on the government servers. I checked it out and it matched, so just trust me on this."
Just listen and believe, Shane. Just listen and believe. This is the reason why we have this less trust right now with the government. Why can't they go out there and say, "Hey, here's the hole and we need to fix it"?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. We're constantly told by statists that we have to choose between liberty and safety. But here is an exploit that makes us unsafe. Revealing it and having it fixed would increase both liberty and safety, and they still won't do it. And also, so much for our right to confront the evidence used against us.
Nope, you can't do that, Shane.
Yeah, can't even do it in camera.
No,
the FBI just wants to use their secret hacking tools, not tell us how we're vulnerable, and not even share that information with the defendants in the case.
That is crap, and we all know it's crap.
And that just has to make the FBI this week's biggest bogani meter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to de-Bromanize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And yet again, it goes to Barack Obama, who has apparently learned precisely zero lessons from the housing crisis. His administration wants to make more home loans available to people with weaker credit.
Gee, I wonder where this will lead.
Oh, it will power the economic recovery, don't you know?
What recovery? I thought we were... it's this stuff right here goes right back to the election, where you have, like, Sanders and Clinton saying, we've been in this recession for so long. Like, hey, whoa, wait a minute. If y'all saying President Obama's done a good job of the economy, then why in the world are we still saying we're still in a recession and our economy hasn't gone back up? Like,
yeah.
Make up your minds.
Well, it's like Paul Krugman. We've gone after him several times on the show, and he's going on and on about how, yes, Obama's given us this big, robust recovery. How dare people call it a depression? It was never a depression. And then, like, 3 or 4 years ago, he published this book that was titled something like, We Need to Do Something About the Depression Now, or something to that effect, and he was calling it a depression.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. Statism. That is the true religion of this country, Shane. Not Christianity, not Islam, not Judaism. It is statism.
So what they're saying they're wanting to do is just have a wider range of borrowers take advantage of taxpayer-backed programs to insure home loans against default. Because that's not at all what was happening during the housing bubble.
Nope. It's hilarious, because didn't he say that this was wrong, we shouldn't have done this, and now he's doing the same dang old thing?
It's like they were saying, oh, the banks were so terrible because they were greedy when they were doing all of these risky loans, and it's the bank's fault. And now the problem is the banks are being cautious and not wanting to take these risks, so we need to help insure them and shield them from the problems with those risks.
It's a stupid thing, and they are just a dog chasing its tail. Oh, how many more sayings I could put into this thing without going on a cuss-filled rant. In fact, quote Ed Pinto, I know you're probably going to say this, but right here says, if that were to come to pass, that will open the floodgates to highly excessive risk and would send us right back on the same path we were just trying to recover from.
Yeah, and Ed Pinto is a resident fellow with the American Enterprise Institute, and he was former top executive at Fannie Mae.
Oh, the evil Fannie Mae, and the government, even though the government, what, didn't they own Fannie Mae and such?
They're quasi-governmental, I think is the term.
Yeah, and I love how they are so sabre-railing against the banks and such, and all these, like, Bear Stearns and Goldman Sachs and all these people, yet the Democratic candidates, Hillary, the main one, is what? Isn't she funded by most of these banks?
Yep. Goldman Sachs and, yeah.
It's hilarious that people, do you not look at opensecrets.org or look at anything on the websites?
Yeah. Like,
people just don't know how to connect any dots anymore. And people look at us who, like, say, maybe we should third party and call us, like, you know, idiots for, like, going after third parties, like, say, Gary Johnson or something like that, who should be the Libertarian candidate, by the way. Why? I mean, he's, like, what, double digits at this point?
Yeah, there was actually one poll with, it was him versus Trump and Hillary, and he got 11%.
That is my one wish, if he actually gets on the debate with both of those candidates, which I would actually watch and see how Trump... I think Trump would actually fare better than Hillary, because I think Hillary would probably be like, will probably be stuttering. And I guarantee you that the next thing up wouldn't be on the media's narrative will be like how Gary Johnson bullied Hillary Clinton.
Aww.
He is a bully. He is a misogynist. And the people who support him are misogynist people.
Yeah.
You know, it just ties right back into people who are just the same people who were criticizing the whole bailouts. We're now doing the same thing and doing the same thing that started the whole craziness.
Yep. And hey, Barry, if you want to help poor people and people just starting out afford homes, why not let housing prices fall like they've been trying to do? And that goes for you too, Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
Or is this really more about your banking cronies than helping the poor?
The economy with most Black Americans has gotten worse under his rule. In fact, the only people who have gotten anything from President Obama's whole presidency are the 1%. They're the ones who actually get the bailouts. They're the ones who got all the money. They're living high on the hog. And yet people say he saved the economy. I'm like, did I miss something here? Did we miss something? Or did we just go, did I just like fall to another universe and such?
Charlie, why do you hate black people so much?
Oh, I am a self-hating black person. Yes, thank you. But all he has done, what I have seen, is increase wealth for, you know, the people who top 1%. He has still meddled in Middle Eastern countries. And the country seems to be more divided than he was actually in office and such. There was a lot of hope when he got in. We had hope and change, but we have no hope and little to no change. We got basically, like, we got little change, like, you know, change in our pockets. Well, everyone else, the top 1%, those are the ones who got all the big money and everything else, the positive stuff. While we, the people, are more divided than ever. Hooray.
So after trying to kickstart the housing crisis all over again, I can think of no one other than Barack Obama who is more deserving of the title of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this Twinkie Wiener Sandwich edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant in text or audio to podcast@bogosity.tv. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes on the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
And my long, lengthy rants against new President Obama.
Until next time, here's a quote from Henry Hazlitt. All loans, in the eyes of honest borrowers, must eventually be repaid. All credit is debt. Proposals for an increased volume of credit, therefore, are merely another name for proposals for an increased burden of debt. They would seem considerably less inviting if they were habitually referred to by the second name instead of by the first. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Here's hoping I won't be in Guantanamo Bay next time. You know, hopefully they have Skype there, right?
They have high-speed internet access there, I'm sure.
Okay. All right.
Maybe Chelsea Manning will help you out with that.
Yeah.